there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Shouldn't you be at work?
When the seagulls follow the trawler, it's because they think sardines will be thrown into the sea.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
I'll have a low-fat pizza or something like that, or a few biscuits and some milk on a Sunday.
And you can pair up if you like, and you can fucking pick someone else to help you, and you can bring your fucking dinner.
Oh, a magnificent goal from Darren Huckabee!
Now, you know him better than anybody, probably. Do you back him to score quickly, yes or no?
Yes.
Tony Hatton!
No!
Hello and welcome to Quickly Kevin, Will He Score? And welcome to a correspondent special with a big message. You'll hear about that very soon. I'm Chris Gold. Joining me, as always, Josh Widdicombe.
Hello.
And this one comes from Sam Roberts, who says, in a tick, son, Lee Dick, son, it's Michael Mardham.
I like that one.
Sam Roberts has also added a copyright Sam Roberts to in a tick, son, Lee Dick, son. So
yeah.
No one take that off. He will see you in court.
Well, that's an interesting trademark situation, isn't it? Because I don't think that he could copyright it because it's got Lee Dixon's name in it. So surely,
I don't think he'd be allowed to. Do you remember that story when the internet first kind of started? Someone went in and logged the domain name 21st Century Fox.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Because
yeah.
He thought he was going to sell it to 20th Century Fox for like millions once the
did he not?
They just didn't call the company 21st Century Fox.
But you've got to admire the chutzpah of the guy.
You love the hustle, but it's abject failure.
So, yeah, I suppose the point is Lee Dixon trademarked his own name, which I'm going to guess he hasn't. I can't imagine he's dealt with a lot of fake merch and Lee Dixon stuff. It's quite a regular name. There's going to be hundreds of Lee Dixons.
Also, the one thing I know about filing copyrights is that everyone who has a copyright close to it gets notified. So if you try to copyright in a tick on Lee Dixon, is Lee Dixon getting notified about that?
Well, I don't know, because he's not going to get any...
Copyrighted Lee Dixon.
Do you know the other classic copyright thing that you'd always hear? Is to send it to yourself in the post.
What?
Are you aware of that, Michael?
Yeah, we were always told that at film school. If you write a script, post it to yourself and don't open it, and then the stamp on the Royal Mail is allegedly some kind of like legal timeline thing. I don't know whether that holds up in a court of law, but who knows?
What, because you've had the stamp?
So you'd say if you're taking an idea to a company and you're worried they were just going to do you over, or if you came up with an invention, send the description of it to yourself. Never open it, and then it's like a time seal. It's like having a photo of it with that day's paper, isn't it, when you've got a hostage.
I know someone who went to Los Angeles and had a meeting and discussed a few ideas, and then about a week after that meeting got a letter in the post from a lawyer saying, I've actually already had some of those ideas, they are my ideas, so you should think about it before you progressed any of those ideas you told me about.
Oh yeah, I actually bizarrely went to a meeting last week where I pitched an idea and the person said, I'm already working on something along those lines. They did it instantly, so I think I had to take it as... And I did, because I know they are. But it was quite surreal. Anyway.
Anyway, Sam Roberts, let us know how you get on with the copyright. Roundabout way.
To bring this back to 90s football on copyright, did you ever have anything where you were... given it, I don't know what the West Ham version would be, but I suppose because West Ham's a place. Like, Michael, you ever given some merch that was just red, white and black and said Manchester on it or anything like that? You know those things where they'd obviously...
Yeah, I think I definitely got a scarf and maybe like a crap pencil case and pen set when I was in my early teens from like an auntie or a nan or someone.
The thing I used to love is like going on holiday to like maybe Spain in the 90s and you would just see all the fake kits. But the tragedy was West Ham weren't quite big enough to have a fake kit made. And I would have loved to have seen it.
Do you think now, Skull?
Oh, now with Champions of Europe, mate. I imagine the coast of Spain is wall to wall with fake West Ham kits.
As a representative of the club, would you have to conduct a citizen's arrest?
Do you know what's quite odd? I follow a few international West Ham fan groups all around the world, and one of the best is the Ghanaian Hammers. They are brilliant, and they've built a Mark Noble kind of education centre for themselves.
Right.
But like it's the local community.
Course, right? It's a noble cause.
But the great thing is they post these pictures and they all had, I would say 60% of them are wearing fake West Ham kits. And some of the kits don't look anything like a West Ham kit, but they've got like our shirt sponsor, like the sleeve sponsor will be the main sponsor and basic mistakes like that. Yeah. But it's incredible.
Oh, that's amazing.
Now, I've got, obviously, not as strong as you, but I've got connections to Plymouth Argyle these days, Skull. So I don't want to slag off the bite the hand that gives me free away tickets. But they sell, and a lot of clubs do this now, and I think I would rather die than buy this product. Replicas of old shirts, classic Plymouth shirts, but without the sportswear company that's made it on it. So in the club shop, they'd sell a replica of the Admiral shirt from 1986 without the Admiral badge on it. So it's like they've done an official fake.
Yeah.
It's an official fake, retro fake.
This is happening more and more. I've seen West Ham do the same thing. They've got old 90s kits made by Fila, but without the Fila badge.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is, where's the legality there? I don't understand.
I imagine that, I don't know who West Ham's kits manufacturer is.
It's embarrassing.
But Puma make Plymouth kits, and so I imagine that you wouldn't be allowed to sell Admiral products in the Plymouth Argyle club shop. That's before we get to the 1996 kit that was made by Super League, a company that I'm sure isn't still in the kit manufacturing business.
Do they have like Rotolock and stuff on them, or is it just the
kit? they do have the Rotolock on them and the Sunday Independent, so they've got those, but they haven't got the, because I suppose, I mean, I'm not blaming Puma at all, because they've paid, but it's how it works. Like, I suppose that doesn't affect the Puma sales. I wonder if they're made by Admiral. I don't know. There you go. Do write in.
Did Super League, who made Plymouth shirts, go on to have the idea of the European Super League? Is that the
same? They did, yeah.
So they're still involved with the game.
Well, no, sadly, they didn't post themselves the idea for the Super League, so someone just stole it.
Oh, poor old Super League. But yeah, if you've got anything, if you could talk us through the legalities of that, send it in. We won't read it out because it'll be too boring, but we'd love to know. Is that fair, Chris?
Yeah. Okay, deal.
Send it in to this address.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list @quicklykevin.com.
Now, why are we here? It's a big question, isn't it, Chris?
Huge one, but one we have to address.
Do you ever think of it? Think that at 2 a.m. in the middle of the night?
I will say I have thought about this moment. I have thought about this moment for a while.
Okay. We have a huge announcement, as you can tell from the title of the podcast. I feel quite sad saying it, but this is the final series of Quickly Kevin, Will He Score, the 90s football podcast, to give it its full title, which we never do, do we?
I think we did that on the first episode.
We didn't even do that on the first episode, but I suppose. So what we've decided is due to time constraints and, well, I was going to say the 90s running out of stuff. The 90s will never run out of stuff.
But I mean, this is the thing I would say is the 90s lasted for 10 years. We've done this podcast for almost 6.5 years.
Exactly.
This podcast has lasted almost as long as the 90s.
And if you consider we don't really talk about anything before 1992, then you really...
And you get edgy within the last 6 months of 1999.
Exactly. So, if for me, the 90s lasted for 3 weeks in the summer of Euro 96. So what we're going to do, we're going to do one final series. And we're then going to do... Now, loads of you have already bought tickets to our gig at London Palladium. That is the final now ever Quickly Kevin event. That is goodbye,
it.
Quickly Kevin.
It will end on that night.
Chris came up with that idea. Let's not beat around the bush. It was within 24 hours of watching the Wham documentary where they did a goodbye gig at Wembley Stadium.
This idea is fully inspired by the Wham documentary and their final gig at Wembley.
So we're doing one final thank you to everyone, a huge event. We're going to have favourite people we've had, favourite clips, favourite things, everything. We're also going to have an everything must go of stuff we've got together over the years. There'll be loads of stuff being given out. It's going to be the final jamboree of this amazing thing that we'll talk quite emotionally at the end of the series, but has been one of the best things I've ever been involved in, because it's just, I'll be honest with you, more than anything I've ever done, this is what I actually think about and talk about 90s football. So it's been a joy. It's been an incredible thing to do it for so long. Let's be honest, longer than any of us thought was possible. We're going to do one final series of 6 episodes, which is going to have incredible guests, and finish with a huge final Jamboree episode. And then on May 16th.
I should double check that.
Yeah, it is Thursday, May the 16th. I've got it in my diary. My daughter has Forest School at 1:30 p.m. that day. That's in my diary. Then we will be doing our final goodbye show at London Palladium.
Yeah.
If you want to say goodbye to Quickly Kevin, if you've never come to a live show, if you want to meet for one final time, 2,000 middle-aged, mainly men in football shirts that no longer really fit them. This is your final chance.
Yeah, this is it.
Get your tickets for this if you want to go, because once they've gone, they've gone. It's Wham at Wembley Stadium.
It's Wham at Wembley.
They never got back together.
They never got back together. And also, you danced over a point that I think is quite important. Over the years, we've clocked up loads of 90s memorabilia, Michael especially. It's a fire sale that night at the London Bridge. We will be giving stuff away non-stop.
That implies that we're selling it. There'll be no sale.
There's no sale. No money will exchange. Your ticket price will be enough.
At some point, or points, plural, during the show, I will come out with an Alex Ferguson mask, dressed as Santa Claus, and we will be giving away all kinds of 90s paraphernalia. It has to go. So come along. Take a piece of QK folklore home with you.
But more to the point for me, it's going to be one of the great nights. It's going to be a huge party, a huge celebration of Quickly Kevin. But it's not just about that night. It's not about May 16th. It is about the final series, which is coming up. We wanted to make this big announcement because we wanted to give you the opportunity to know what is going on and know that that will be the final ever Whamstock event before Chris goes on to have a solo career that, let's be honest, doesn't have as many upbeat hits, but some people consider as good if they're fucking insane.
If you've listened to this podcast, if you've loved it over the years, we would love the chance to formally say goodbye. But as Josh mentioned, this isn't, we've got the big final night at the London Palladium, but there's a series coming of greatest hits. We sat down, we made a list of our top guest that we'd like to have on that we've never had on over the years, and what
and
a
David
list it
Batty
is.
Said no.
David, we will say, I will say this, I mean, we might as well start giving away our secrets now. We tried David Batty for a final time and forcefully it was a no. I think the phrase was no fucking chance.
Not from David Batty.
Not from David,
just
David,
from David Batty's our go between who wouldn't even approach David Batty.
Didn't you say he said not for £1 million?
Yeah, he said Batty wouldn't do it for £1 million.
And I'd like to say we're going to test his mettle, but we're not. but we've got loads of correspondence. And so this just obviously, we start the series not a million correspondences behind. And also because it's weird just to do a small episode where we announce that we're quitting and then leave. It's like one of those take that press conference where they announced that they were ending and then they had to set up a hotline. Do you think we should be setting up a hotline?
I would say, before we get into this correspondence section, if you've got an email that you've been desperate to send us over the last 6.5 years,
get it
you
in.
Haven't bothered to, this is your last chance, hello@quicklykevin.com. And I will also say, if you've sent in an email over the years but we've missed it, I mean, we get tens of thousands of emails, so things do slip through the net. If you sent something, we didn't read it out, but you think we really should read it, resend it, because we'll be going through it. We want this to be we have to tie a ribbon around the 90s.
We have to finish the 90s.
New Year's Eve 1999 is fast approaching again. Get the email in.
For the love of God, don't get in a plane over New Year's Eve. It might fall out of the sky.
Now, all right, let's get into the correspondence. The first thing we have to talk about is the thing that we mentioned in our specials just before Christmas. The rumour that Alex Ferguson was delivering presents around the dugout at Old Trafford.
Bullshit.
Have you changed your opinion on it whatsoever?
What, that Alex Ferguson delivered presents around the dugout at Old Trafford at Christmas, even though there's no evidence of it? I haven't changed my view of it, no.
Yeah, Michael, you still feel the same way?
Well, the way you're holding your phone smugly makes me slightly doubt myself. But I'm holding firm.
All right, I'm going to read out a few then. Okay, so Matt Hamilton's been on first. He says, I think Chris might be getting confused as to which United manager handed out presents. Because if you Google Louis van Gaal Christmas presents, you will see Louis van Gaal recently, like when he was in charge, would hand out Christmas presents around the Old Trafford dugout. Why is
but
he doing
he was
that?
Famously what? Jovial, wasn't he?
Famously jovial, okay. He's not replicated.
What can I just say on that? Can I just, as an aside, I know we do too many asides, but do we? Or is that what people will miss most? One of my absolute bugbears in football commentary, or like it's often in like the you know when they do like the goal roundups, would be a goalkeeper makes a mistake in December and then the Tony Gubber or someone will go, and Ludic McClosco gave an early Christmas present to Coventry City when he fumbled the ball into
that's a classic.
It's an absolute classic cliche.
Yeah, early Christmas present. All right, so no, you still think that's a freak occurrence, like Louis van Gaal handing out Christmas presents?
Well, unrelated. I don't believe that either.
Okay, all right. What you can Google it is there's pictures of this. Matthew Crist has been on. Now, if you wanted proof that Sir Alex Ferguson was handing out Christmas presents around the Old Trafford dugout, and you looking for someone to agree, like to provide the evidence, first-person evidence that this happened, you would no doubt look for someone who was close to Sir Alex Ferguson.
No, you'd look for Alex Ferguson. You'd look for Alex Ferguson.
That's not going to happen either. I'll let me make that clear.
£1 million. Imagine we get him on the Zoom call. He's looking forward to reliving the decade that made him a legend. And we go, question one, did you hand out Christmas presents to the fans?
Matthew Crist.
Question two. Did you know Steve Bruce was writing books?
Matthew Crist provides this witness statement. He says, after listening to your end of year quiz, I checked with my Manchester United sources regarding the Alex Ferguson gift giving debate, and I
too
got
vague.
This.
Too vague.
He says, I hope it clears things up. So what he sent me is a screenshot.
Has he named his sources?
He has. A screenshot of a text exchange with a Mr. Brian McClare.
Oh, here we go. Who, to be fair, spent a lot of time on the bench at Old Trafford. So he would know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Tinder. With spring and festival season on the way, now is a fantastic time to get on Tinder and find your twin flame. You know, someone you can match festival outfits with, a boo with similar music tastes, or maybe someone who can introduce you to something new. Just make sure to throw a few likes their way, or you'll never know. Explore all of the possibilities for yourself on Tinder. It starts with a swipe. Download Tinder today.
This is from Matthew to Brian. Do you have any recollection of Fergie handing out Christmas presents to fans around the dugouts at Old Trafford during the mid-90s? I'm asking for a friend. Brian replies, he did, and the OK emoji, you know, the finger OK emoji.
Yeah.
Matthew replies, yeah, was it a regular thing? There's a huge debate about it on the Quickly Kevin podcast, and everyone was saying it didn't happen. I don't remember it at all. Brian McClare says, every Christmas I think, and then a Santa emoji.
Oh.
This case is closed. I would say as well, we're open to ideas. If there's someone, there's a glaring omission from all the episodes we've done or interviews we've done. Is there someone you think we should be speaking to?
If it's really glaring, we've probably tried. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't go, have you tried Paul Gascoigne? Have you thought about Roberto Baggio? Because
there's certain names we've obviously tried again and again. I'm not going to name any names, Kevin Keegan, but obviously you can assume we have tried those people.
Sadly, some of them, they can't make it work and do the barbecuing awards. We can't name any names. But we would love it. We would love it if they'd say yes.
Email in if you've got any guests you think we should be covering. We've got a little list. We've made a couple of bookings we're quite pleased with. I always consider this period before a Quickly Kevin series is a little bit like the transfer window. And I will say we've done some great business so far.
But you can't judge it. Who has a good or bad transfer window? You can't judge it until afterwards. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. At the end of the season.
Sometimes it's the teams that don't do any business that do the best. Sometimes maybe we should just have put out 6 old episodes that people liked.
Right. Do you want an email from Tommy Chambers? Hi, lads. Love the podcast. Reading a recent edition of 442, and there was an interview with Beverly Knight. Now, why would Beverly Knight have an interview in 442? I hear you ask. Well,
is she a Wolves or West Brom fan? Who does she support?
I don't actually know. Although she mentions that I've been sent, Tommy has sent me a section from this interview, and they're all football-related questions. Beverly Knight must be a big football fan. The question is, have you ever sung alongside a footballer? She says, I've not sung with one. Steve Bull is always offering, but I'm like, no, you're all right, love. She must be a Wolves fan.
She must be a Wolves fan.
However, she says, she did sing at Peter Crouch's wedding.
And
she did sing with Dion Dublin's brothers. And get this, at the wedding, guess who's playing percussion?
Oh, yes, please.
Dion Dublin. Dion's a really good percussionist, she says.
Yeah,
he's got his own musical instrument, the jube. I sang while he played, which was so cool. When Dion asked if I'd sing at the wedding, I said yes. And also at this wedding, David James came up and sang alongside me, but he didn't sing too well. What a wedding.
I think invites to footballers' weddings are interesting because obviously we've all got married, right? In our lives, and it's a difficult decision who comes and who goes from like work situations. So, in a football dressing room, it must be incredible because obviously you don't really know what's the connection between Dublin and Crouch. Do you know what I mean? That's a surprise. And also, imagine like you're putting out your wedding invites 6 months in advance. You don't know who's going to still be at the club.
Well, I will say, I don't think I've told this story on the podcast, but I did recently go to a footballer's wedding. I went to Carlton Cole's wedding.
Of course you did.
And Carlton Cole put a little bit of a West Ham table together, and I was with Joe Cole, which I would describe as the jackpot of footballer's wedding, if you're a West Ham fan.
I think he's missed a trick by not putting him on the Cole family table as a little joke. But. So, do we think Beverly Knight is a friend of Abby Clancy or Peter Crouch?
It sounds like from this response that Dion Dublin invited her to sing. So maybe they booked Dion on the tube first and Dion was like, I need a singer. I'll go to Beverly Knight. She's a football fan.
No. I think Beverly Knight's at the wedding.
Oh, you think? And it was just impromptu.
Or look, Beverly Knight, it was a secret wedding gift from the groom. Peter got me smuggled into the grounds in the back of a car. Abby's face was a picture when she saw me.
Oh, wow. There's more to this story.
Well, there we go. Fair play to Peter Crouch there. He smuggled Beverly Knight into the... like Jose Mourinho when he got smuggled into the dressing room in the laundry basket.
The laundry basket. All right. Got another email here. Now, you might remember in recent episodes we've been talking about the worst sponsors in the 90s. Obviously, this is a subject that's come up again and again down the years.
Yeah, it's a classic. It's a classic.
But now, we may have had the worst sponsor ever. I'm going to send you a picture. Yeah. This is an email from Kevchenko, he calls himself. Big fan of the show. I live in hope you'll be covering Hull City's great escape of the 90s, narrowly avoiding exiting the Football League 2 years running, ongoing dramas with Mark Haley as boss, chairman and tennis guru David Lloyd locking us out of the ground, the infamous game at York when our manager Terry Dolan stood with a Sack Dolan sticker on his bald head for a good 20 minutes. Anyway, please see Exhibit A for the worst sponsor of the 90s.
Sorry, the manager had a sticker
on his bald head.
Did he not know it was on there? Or like was it like a...
That was big in the 90s.
Like, well, put it on my head, see what you make of that.
You know, when you slap someone on the shoulder, all right, mate, and just stick a sticker on their back. That was huge in the 90s.
Yeah, it really was, wasn't it?
Anyway, Hull. I imagine fans of 90s football will know this, but some of Hull's shirts in the 90s, obviously a tiger pattern, were horrendous. This one is a real treat. You've got that tiger pattern. And the shirt sponsor, I've sent it to you now, is Pepe's. Any guess what Pepe's is?
No. It's not like... seeing as you're saying it's bad, it's not like... Because Pepe's is not a pissing thing, is it?
It could be Pepe's. I've read that as Pepe's. Anyone who went to Hull in the 90s will probably know it is the local nightclub. It's described as an absolute meat market of a nightclub.
Wow.
On the worst shirt of the 90s, generic animal print. There you go. I can't recall ever seeing or hearing of anyone else getting sponsored by a nightclub.
And is it still going? Pepe's.
Should we have a quick Google?
There's an Italian restaurant in Hull called Pepe's, but... No,
the Hull Daily Mail has a series of pictures from Pepe's nightclub in the 90s, and yes, it does look like it. Very much looks like.
Oh, wow! Oh my word, it looks like a big night.
There you go, Pepe. Well, again, if you've got a worse shirt sponsor than
that, so what do we think Pepe's are paying for that?
A few grand, isn't it? And then I feel like at that, like if they're on the verge of dropping out the Football League in the 90s, I imagine. $5,000, I would guess. Now, this is something I'm sure we've covered before, but I don't think we've ever really gone into the depth of it. Matt Hamilton has sent us an email, very succinct one. And he simply says, check out Birmingham City's departures in 1998. And if there's two departures which stick out. On the 2nd of July, 1998, Steve Bruce goes to Sheffield United for £200,000.
Yeah.
A few months later, on the 23rd of October, Steve Barnes is released by Birmingham City on a free to Barnet.
Oh.
And when you look at the career of Steve, so, I mean, I'm sure someone has pointed out to us before that there was a Steve Barnes and a Steve Bruce together at the same club.
Played,
but how much do you know about Steve Barnes? Do you, for example, know that, yes, he left Birmingham City and went to Barnet on a free, but that he was 5'4" and a winger? Does that make him shorter than Alan Wright?
That, I don't know. Does he demand his own bath because of, I don't know.
Steve Barnes is exactly the same height as Alan Wright.
Well, there you go. So Steve Bruce has played with Steve Barnes.
Yeah, Stephen Leslie Barnes made 3 appearances for Birmingham City between 1995 and 1998.
Wow. I just can't believe you'd name someone the name of a football you've already played with.
And he's writing these books in 99, right? Which is a year after him and Steve Barnes depart the club.
I just don't know whether Bruce has even thought that through. I can't believe it's a reference to one of his favourite reserves at his previous club. You can just name a character in a book, right? Because there's just people that have got your name. Like, that happens to people. Like, it's just, I was watching a BBC 4 documentary about, they had a historian on it, and he was 60, and his name was Harry Potter. And you were just like, the poor fucking bastard. But you can't do anything, because obviously, without naming people absurd names, they're always going to be, I think actually there's a rule that when you name someone, there has to be more than one of them in the UK so that it isn't specifically that person, if you know what I mean. I think they search a name. I've worked on something and I can't remember what it was, where there was something along those lines where the name of someone had to exist in more than one person, otherwise that one person in the UK could sue you. So John Barnes would be fucked. He couldn't sue someone. But maybe if you're a public figure, it makes a difference.
Do you remember there was an episode of Phoenix Nights of Peter Kay with the fire marshal? And at the end of the episode, it would have a disclaimer because the fire marshal had the same name in Phoenix Nights as a real fire marshal in Bolt.
Yeah. Yes. I think that's probably... I think...
What are the chances?
I'm guessing that was something that came up after they'd filmed it and it was all too late, right? That they realised that was going to be an issue. But you never know. You never get that in a scripted show, though, do you? Where someone's like, my name's Tom Cruise, but I'm 60, so it's slightly annoying. You know, it's just a quirk of a character that they share a name with someone famous. Have we done characters in fiction who have the name of 90s footballers? If not,
that would be
that
good.
Feels like... There will be some. Do send them in.
I remember I used to go to Preston North End games in the 90s, and they had a player called Michael Jackson. And I remember doing the maths and thinking, well, Michael Jackson was around when you named that kid Michael Jackson. There's a million names to pick from if your surname is Jackson.
He probably wasn't that around, was he? He was probably one of the Jackson Five.
And just blending in.
And the one with the least kind of identifiable name, in a way. He was, I know he's the most famous one of the Jackson Five, but like, he wasn't a solo artist by the time Michael Jackson the footballer was born, was he?
Michael Jackson was born in 1973. So, okay, there's probably, I don't know, actually. Here we go. This is vintage Quickly Kevin. When were the Jackson Five around?
Yeah.
What was the overlap?
He released four solo studio albums, 72, 72, 73, and 75. So he was a young child star at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson was 15 when Michael Jackson was born.
Yeah. The Jackson 5 had released 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 albums by the time the footballer Michael Jackson was born. There is no excuse. There is no excuse for calling your kid Michael Jackson in 1973. No. Was there any other footballers in the 90s who had names that were just simply unacceptable, like too close to someone that had more...
Footballers with names that are too close to famous people or characters in fiction that have got the names of 90s footballers, please.
All right. Now, a few episodes ago, we were talking about Graham Kelly turning up in a Sunday league game. And we've got a few emails around. We've got a few emails around, again, building out detail on Graham Kelly and Graham Kelly undertaking fitness challenges. And this one I pulled out from the few we've received. Matthew Cox. Hi, guys. Love the pod. Just caught up on the Les Ferdinand episode. Enjoyed the chat at the start about competitive Graham Kelly in his Sunday league career. I can vouch for a competitive Graham Kelly, as I found myself crossing the line for the 1998 Great North Run at the same time after a sprint finish for a time of 2 hours. I was 19. He was 53. We had a good chat. Shook hands at the line. Keep up the good work. So, Graham Kelly did not have an athlete's figure, but there he is at 53, running the Great North Run in 2 hours.
Fair play to him. I suppose he's surrounded by people in sport. Do you know, is he still with us, Graham Kelly? He is, yeah. The problem for Graham Kelly is he just looked like the idea of a kind of pen pushing suit, didn't he?
Yeah.
And sounded like it. Let's
the
be
glasses.
Honest.
The like the Dennis the Taylor glasses outside of the a snooker set.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd love to know his prescription, Graham Kelly, because remember that they were like those kind of glasses you used to get in the 80s and 90s, like teachers used to wear, where it just blows the eyes up. So your eyes
yeah,
are enormous.
Like Graham Taylor, weren't they? Yeah, do you think why do you think that's why he appointed him?
a kindred poor eyesight spirit.
We've got the same glasses and the same first name. This is meant to be.
It's meant to be.
There's that book about Elton John and Graham Taylor, but I'd much rather read the book about Graham Kelly and Graham Taylor and how they shared a glasses prescription. Little trivia that at the FA, if they both took off their glasses at the same time, it got problematic when they didn't know which ones to put back on. In a stressed meeting, they both take their glasses off and put them on the table, and then
I'd love if you know what Graham Kelly's prescription was. I would love to know.
Still
I bet it's like minus 10.
We don't want it now though, because it will be worse now. But we want it.
Yeah, he could have had laser eye. Could have had laser eye.
He could have had laser eye by now.
We've actually got a Do I Remember This Right about
let's finish
this
on that,
very
then.
Podcast. And I wonder. Okay. I wonder if
that's a perfect finish to an episode where we're tying up the podcast.
Do I remember this right?
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 Do I remember this right? Right.
James Reynoldson says, I've been walking around the house this week chanting beef, beef, beef alert, mainly due to having bought a joint of beef for Christmas. My wife now joins in the chant, but doesn't believe the context of my nonsensical random shouting. A quick Google of beef, beef, beef alert quickly, Kevin, brings nothing of any relevance, and I'm starting to doubt myself. Please tell me this wasn't a niche podcast-based fever dream, and it was indeed a misheard chant. Any hard evidence you can put me towards would be even greater. I'm
it
sorry to
true.
Say, James, that has never come up on this podcast.
No, it has, hasn't it?
It has. And I would actually
but
say...
I can't remember what the chant was. And
I've dropped it as an Easter egg. Because it was a West Ham chant, because West Ham fans chant East London. And
right. Someone
people thought it was someone chanting beef, beef, beef alert. So there is a West Ham link to it. And because I do the halftime stuff at West Ham, I have dropped it in as an Easter egg. Like very subtly. I'll say stuff like, all right, quick beef alert here. We've got a halftime quiz.
I thought you were doing the full three beefs, which is the difficult.
Well, I'm trying to think how else I've done it. Like, all right, beef, beef, beef alert. Here comes your second question on the halftime quiz.
Do you have to do a sound check on your mic?
Yeah.
Where you get like one, two, one, two.
It's a proper you've show.
You've got to go beef, beef, beef alert. Like that's got to be the perfect sound check. Beef, beef, bit more treble, please. Beef, beef, beef. Bit more treble, beef. That's perfect. Alert, alert, alert.
When's the next home game after this comes out? I'll do it. I'll do it as an Easter egg for the Quickly Kevin fans.
I love the way roadies check mics.
Check one,
like
two,
really
one.
Articulate. Alert, alert. It's the best bit of being a roadie, isn't it?
Of the many wormholes I've been going down recently. I've been obviously, there's a Live Aid musical coming out and I've got back into Live Aid a little bit. And sometimes I'll just go on and watch some bits of Live Aid. And you know, like in between each set, they get like comedians of the time, like Griff Rhys-Jones and Mel Smith. And they're doing like a little bit of banter in between the sets.
While
they're doing their banter, they're doing the sound check at the same time.
Yeah, of course.
So like you've got Smith and Jones talking to the crowd while a roadie with a mullet right next to them is going 1-2, 1-2. The 80s.
I know. But then what can you do? Yeah. Well, I tell you what you can do. You could just have 10 minutes downtime. You don't need constant
stuff. People will get bored if they have to wait 10 minutes for Queen.
I don't want to be the person. I can't believe I'm in 2024 telling people in the 80s this, but you don't need constant content. You can just relax.
Just to bring it back nicely to the live show.
just to bring back nicely to the live show on that beef alert thing, in the storage locker somewhere, and I will bring them to the live show, we've probably got about 300 or 400 beef alert pin badges I will give away to audience members.
And as an extra Easter egg, if you stand outside the London Palladium at about 6 p.m. that day with a glass to the wall to listen in, you'll be able to hear us sound checking beef alert. Thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch for the final series with any of those things, this is how.
Get in touch with the show. Email hello@quicklykevin.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter @quicklykevin. And sign up to the mailing list @quicklykevin.com.
Let's end on just confirmation one more time. Quickly Kevin will end on the Thursday, the 16th of May, 2024 at the London Palladium with one final big show. This is it after 6.5 years.
But before that, we've got a series to produce. And
of course,
all we can tell you about it is we won't be interviewing David Batty. So for the love of God, don't expect that. But it's been a genuine joy, and it brings us great joy to do the final one. It's going to be, it's going to tie up the 90s in a bow, so it never needs talking about again.
And a reminder, if you've got any hanging on to that bit of correspondence, that email you've never sent, this is your chance to send it in. hello@quicklykevin.com. And get your tickets now, Thursday the 16th of May. We put a link in the episode description. One final time. We'll be saying Robbie Slater, to see you later. But let's say goodbye today. And this goodbye comes courtesy of Andrew Hewitt, who says, see you, fella, Casey Keller.
Go, Les! Hit Les! Hit Les over the top!